Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this sixth episode in season three of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guest on this episode is noted UK clairvoyant Maurice Amdur. His client list includes the creme de la creme from the world of entertainment, business, and, well, even politics. We'll talk about his realization of his gifts, his hesitance at sharing them, and even many instances of his advice. I'll even step out of my comfort zone and let him do my own personal reading. I do thank you for allowing me to share with you, and if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. Be sure to follow on all the socials, and if you have a guest idea, email me at gqwithcam@gmail.com. Have a clairvoyant from the UK, and I got introduced to him from a mutual friend in common, and said, "Hey, you might want to have him on the show." So we were able to work out scheduling. We've got Maurice Amdur with us today. And first off, Maurice, I got to say thanks so much for taking the time.
Pleasure,
to be
absolute pleasure. We've had a heat wave here. For me, it's early evening, so it's just nice to be cooling off. We don't often get great weather here in England. This week we've got a heat wave. I used to live in LA anyway, so I'm used to it, but it's very warm here.
You hear the word clairvoyant, and there's so many questions, so many mystical ideas behind all that. For you to have that associated with your name, what does that mean to you personally, aside from all of the hubbub, if you will?
Well, okay, I'll go back into my life earlier. When I was a child, I used to get the odd message, but thought everybody else did. So I had no idea that this was something peculiar or different. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, I used to tell people things, but it wasn't what I wanted to do with my life at all. I wanted to be an actor and an action star. That's what I wanted. That was my plan. I mean, you probably can't see it today because I'm about 20 pounds over where I want to be. I go back and forth all the time. But that's what I wanted to do, and I studied that. But then, and it did work out for a little while. But then it kind of overtook me because friends used to ask me to talk to them about different things. And then the questions they asked, I seemed to be able to answer. And then I used to get these visions of things in my mind and voices talking. I sound like a raving loony, but it's actually true, like thoughts and voices. And anyway, I started telling people, and then suddenly before I knew where I was, 10 or 20 people a day wanted my advice. So after I've been doing this for a year or two, I thought, you know, I've got no time to do anything I want to do. I'll charge them. So I started at £10. And that was 40 years ago. And then I increased it and increased it and increased it. And then I made it a full-blown profession. But it wasn't my plan. And it's only the fact that I seem to have been so constantly accurate for reasons that I'm never going to understand. But once I realized I had these gifts, I did, in fact, study a few things, numerology, astrology. I didn't have to study how to read coffee cup or palms. That was already in me. And clairvoyance is to clear hear. Clairsentience is to feel, and clairaudient is to hear. I've got all the clairs. You know, I wish she was 5'7", blonde hair, blue eyes, and large. But that's another story. No, but the clairvoyant part really means someone who can see things. I see, feel, and hear elements of individuals' futures for reasons that I don't know. And sometimes I get visions, like watching a movie. Sometimes I hear things, sometimes I feel things. I was going to study the tarot cards, but then I didn't have to, because when I laid them out the first time, I understood them. So that may have come through from another incarnation, I don't know. Also, one day I was playing with playing cards and suddenly knew what they meant, because a lot of people use for divination different tools: playing cards, tea, coffee, a flame, a candle, tarot cards. You actually can use anything. Even flipping a coin can give you an answer, because we're all connected to whatever it is we come from throughout this experience we call life. And I've got a feeling that this life's a little bit of an illusion. And then when we die, we go back where we came from, having learned some pretty tough lessons while we're here and having evolved our soul. I think the journey of life is about the evolution of the soul. So that soul is like a fine diamond being cut time and time again until it's so shiny and brilliant that it can sit with God. because of course he's a perfect being, or she is a perfect being. I'm not sure if God's a man or a woman. In fact, I think we're made in the image of God spiritually, but not physically. You know, I don't think there would be any sex in heaven, because what would be the need for it? Sex is procreation. Therefore, male and female is an earthbound biological thing. And the reason I bring this up is because when I've done readings, the big thing I've learned is that men and women are actually the same. All this bullshit that society comes up, I hope that's not swearing, but all this BS that society comes up with about men being different than women and women being different than men in their emotions and in their actions is actually rubbish, garbage. Because I've been doing this work now for about 41 years professionally, and a good 10 to 15 years before that, mucking around, but never, when I say mucking around, never ever taking it lightly, but not charging or anything. Right. And so when a woman's hurt, she's no different than when a man's hurt. Now women are allowed to show their pride and their ego in ways that they never before were. You know, for a long time, women were kept down in society, but now not only have they got their own back, they're slightly higher up than men, except for Amber Heard in the last couple of weeks. But the point, yeah, but if you lie and you get caught out, you're going to get caught out. But the point I'm trying to get to is that the emotions, the basic emotions, when a man has his heart broken, he's no different than a woman. If a woman loses a child, she's no different than a man if he loses a child. If your brother dies, your mother dies, your father dies, if you lose a load of money, whatever it is, you feel the pain. But we were taught as children to pretend to be a different gender. Boys are told, don't cry, you sissy. Girls are told it's okay to cry. Boys are told, don't go in the kitchen and cook. And yet the greatest chefs on earth are men. That's not sexist, it's a fact, okay? Women like to drive lorries. Women like to race cars. Women like to fly aeroplanes. What I'm trying to say, there isn't the differential that we're told. And so when you learn that, and then you look at relationships, and you understand how human beings are made, it really opens your eyes to everything. Because we're stuck in different gender roles. And I mean, even the Me Too movement, which I'm very sad about, because there's a lot of very bad men, but there's also a lot of very bad women. It takes two to tango, you know. I'm not going to name names, but certain actresses agreed to deal with that filthy pig, because he's not very nice. You know, the one who's in prison, I won't name another. But they agreed the deal and they got what they wanted. The ones that didn't made a Me Too movement, because they refused or whatever, but that casting couch thing goes back 100 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, men and women are very, very similar. And even the way that real men and real women behave, even sexually, is virtually identical. And another issue that I want to get a TV show about is sexual drives and the differences between them. The fact that human beings have low drives, medium drives, and high drives, or extremely high drives. And if extremely high drive guy goes with a low drive woman, you're looking at divorce, and vice versa. If it's a medium drive, they can get away with both. But a high drive woman can't be with a low drive man, and a low drive man can't be with a high drive woman. You get it?
I do. It makes sense.
Nobody's ever discussed this. This is not something we talk about when we meet someone. We don't say, by the way, babe, are you twice a day or are you once a month? We don't say it. Not discussed, not at any age, not at 15 and not at 65. So what happens is the couple get together. This is without using astrology, but and then after a few weeks, you know, the guy's thinking, well, I want to make love to her. She's gorgeous. And she wants it once a week. He needs it twice a day. World War III. Get it? And then you've got to look at the interactions in family members, nothing to do with sex now, between the different astrological signs. So, for example, if you're a Pisces and your son's a Sagittarius, you will not be able to keep up with him physically when he's a teenager, because his energy by birth is 10 times yours. Do you get it?
Right.
And so you have families where you've got, say, a Leo mum and an Aries dad, and the child is a Pisces. Well, the child will not be like them. That doesn't mean he won't be amazing or she won't be amazing, but they don't have anything in common other than the blood link and the natural love. But what happens is, and this is a reading the other day, a girl phoned me. She's insanely, well, she's a long-term client. She's insanely gorgeous, very lightly built woman, probably about 95 pounds. But honestly, you will never see a more beautiful female in your life. Okay. And her husband's around 6'4 and about 280 pounds. So they went skydiving and she was nervous. He says to her while they're up in the air, I can't stand weak people. Now, when he got down, of course, he apologized. But in the moment, she got heartbroken. But how can a 95-pound woman compete with a 280-pound man in the middle of the sky? Now, this is not psychic, but it's to do with misunderstandings. Of course, later he apologized and said it was all about hype in the moment. But the reason I bring it up, because there are differences between people. It's a bit like you would love your Pisces child just as much as you would love your Sagittarius child, your Leo child, your Aries child. But what you need to do is understand the difference of who they are. And the same works with something called numerology. When we're born, we are allocated at the moment of birth, not only an astrological chart, but a life force number. And that number predicts and depicts a lot of who you are and what will happen to you. There are nine lives. Actually, well, I suppose you could say there are 10, but it's really nine. And you will fall into one of those. When you're born, you have 12 astrological signs, but your chart is made up of 12 times 12. So if you read the newspaper and it says you're, I don't know, an Aquarian, and you read Aquarius and it doesn't fit you, it might be because your moon was, say, in Cancer. But if you'd have read Cancer, it would fit you. Do you get it? So this is where people fall down. I'm sorry to be a little complicated, but I'm trying to lift the veil off what I do. And my dream is to help and heal people, not hurt them. You know, and I think sometimes being forewarned is forearmed. You know, if you're ready. You know, it's like if a man knows he's got to fight Mike Tyson, if he gets 3 months in the gym, even if he's the worst boxer that ever lived, he might survive with just being knocked out. But if he didn't train for the 3 months, when he gets in the ring, he's dead meat. You get my point? Right. So with astrology, with clairvoyance, with anything, you can't solve all the problems, but you maybe can highlight some of the areas that that are important. For example, I'm a Leo Virgo cusp, August 21. And but I'm Leo on the cusp with Virgo. So I look like a Leo, present like a Virgo. But because my moon's in Aquarius, I behave like an Aquarian within reason. Okay. So for example, if you take someone like Sean Connery, who most of us can remember, he was a Leo Virgo cusp, but he's 25th of August. So he fell on the Virgo side, but his moon was in Libra. So he found it hard to say what he really felt and could be quite sarcastic when pushed. Moon in Libra tend to do that. So, you know, it's looking at the whole chart. And again, within a family, if you have children or a girlfriend, if you know what she's made of and what works, then you could use some of that knowledge to make it a little smoother and a little easier. Even in business partnerships. And these days, you know, I do a lot of advice of big companies, some billionaire businessmen, and still a hell of a lot of music industry and movie industry, et cetera. You know?
Now, when was it that you knew, what was it that made you know that chasing this as your profession? When did you know
I want to share with you, I never, ever chased it. It came and took me over, a bit like a calling. So there I am wanting to do a lot of other things. And every time I went and did them, they'd work a bit and then blow up in my face. Like the universe said, absolutely not, not you. And then what they do instead is make it that this work did work. Mm. And things kept flying at me, more knowledge, more opportunities, and more work. And so, for example, you know, I used to love classic cars. I know a lot about them. We had a chain of hotels. I know a lot about that. I'm a trained Shakespearean actor. I know quite a bit about that. But none of those things were allowed to be the main issue. So this is how serious it got. I'm in a bar. I'm, say, 22. I see a gorgeous girl. And I'm talking to her. And then I realize that she's going to marry the guy behind me. So I introduce them. And they get married. You get it? Wow. And that's really annoying because I wanted to get my, you know, but I can't because I know what's going to be. And it's like, say I wanted a movie role or something. And then I realize I know who's going to get it. Right. And things like that. So it's very difficult because this this calling or whatever it is, this joy, pleasure, or curse that I live with, I don't know what it is really, has taken over my life. There's a brilliant movie directed by Clint Eastwood called Hereafter, starring Matt Damon. Now, it did okay at the box office, but the problem with it, it's half in French. So, of course, Americans don't like that. But it actually depicts very much my real life. It's quite shocking. It's almost like my biography. Because the worst thing that happens is you go out and somebody hears what you do and you meet this fabulous woman. And then she'll say to you, you know, tell me what's going to happen to me. And then you have to be honest. And then they no longer look at you as a man. You're now like an encyclopedia. Mm. It's not just them. It's your friends. It's your family. I mean, I have a lot of people call, hey, how are you? But they're not interested in how I am. They want to know what they want to know. And it's tricky, you know. I want to explain this. It's not a normal life, you know. It's just not normal. But because I've been so accurate for so long for so many people, I can't get away from it. So what I decided a few years back, okay. And then, you know, one day, here's a story that'll make sense. I had a lot of pilots in the US to become the new Montel, the new Oprah, et cetera, in the early 2000s. And I got paid a few times as well, but because the Twin Towers got blown up, I lost my live show in Vegas. We didn't make the Maurice show then, but I came home and one day a goth girl came for a reading who was about 17. Goth meaning black nails, black eyebrows, right. All black, looked like something out of a horror movie, but she's a sweet little kid. And I did a reading. I said, look, I can't charge you. You're only 17. Have a bagel, have a coffee, whatever. I'll have a chat with you. Anyway, I sorted her out. And about a week later, she phoned me, would I come and meet her boss? And that's when I got Maurice's Psychic World. I never knew it was a meeting about a television show. And I did something like 1,000 of them.
Wow.
On Sky. So that was weird. And then another time, to give you an idea how things happen, another girl came one day, about 14, which is really very young, and I wouldn't do a professional reading for a 14-year-old, but she'd had a lot of problems in school, and she was from another country, and so I made her a hot chocolate and smoked salmon bagel and a chocolate cake, this, that, and the other. And I tried to talk to her for about an hour and a half to just get her balanced, you know, like an uncle, like a grandfather. I don't know what you want to do. Very odd set of circumstances, but, you know, I am odd, so, you know, I didn't think it was odd that she'd come. Anyway, she said, thank you very, very much. You've taken away a lot of my pain. I feel a lot better. I'm going to tell my daddy about you. And her daddy called about a week later to come and see me. I had no idea who he was. When he came, he said he was her father. And he turned out to be the fourth richest man alive on earth.
Wow.
And I have been reading for him ever since. Who knew? I didn't know. I just looked after his daughter that day. I mean, it's what I do for my niece or my nephew or anybody else. You know, today I read a guy who delivered a jacket for me, and I told him that he's supposed to be an MMA star. His name's Clinton, and he will be. I mean, you know, he said, how do you know my dream? I said, well, I just saw it. But that was today. But I have an odd life. That's what I'm trying to explain. And I'm the sort of person that has the biggest stars in the world phone up using their first name or their real name. And then when my office was open, which it isn't at the moment, I do it on the phone now, they just turn up here, unannounced. So you open the door, or in those days, I had a secretary that used to open the door, and I'm expecting somebody ordinary, and it's the person I've wanted to meet the most my entire life walking in. The only thing is, though, when they did walk in, and this has been since I was, say, 20, I'm now coming up 60, well, not quite 60, 58, but when they came in, it's that dream person that I always wanted to meet. But then when you're doing the work, you realize that nobody's anybody except for God. Do you get it? We're all nothing. We can dream all we want, but we're not anybody. You know, you can have a man that you thought was your hero, who's 6'3" and built like a brick outhouse. And there he comes, and you've been watching him in films or something for the last, well, 30 years or whatever. And they're in your office, and suddenly it's a vulnerable human being who's upset about something. Do you get it?
Yeah.
And that was quite an eye-opener. And then when I lived in Hollywood, it was every single day. Supermodels, film stars, pop stars. And it's never what you think. They've got the baseball cap on and maybe a gym suit. And it's your favorite performer. right in front of you. I know all their birthdays off by heart anyway. Most I've got memorized of most people in the world. And sometimes when I look at people, I can see, but not always. And it's harder on the radio, even though your facial features remind me very much of my own in the sense of the astrology. Hmm. You know, you've got strong astrology. You know, like I told you, I'm Leo, Virgo, cusp, Moon, Aquarius. And you've got a similar structure in your face to me. I don't know if you're Gemini or Virgo. Are you?
February 9.
Oh, that explains it. Okay. February 9 is Joe Pesci's birthday. You already knew that, I'm sure. But yep. The reason I bring it up is that's Aquarius. Okay. Now, if you look at Robbie Williams, who's the 13th of February, you'll note that you have a similar look. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at me and I take my glasses off, apart from my rather extensive hair transplant, which was done 30 years ago by a guy I read for, do you notice the facial features, size, shape of the face? Do you get it? The strength in it? Mm-hmm. And I would think you've got outstanding eyes, which I can't see clearly here, but usually Aquarius, and I've got Moon Aquarius, you have bright, sparkly, powerful eyes. I bet you get the comment all the time. So the point being, you've got similar features because that Aquarius is dominant in your physical. But also, we'll look for your moon. I'll just check it because it'll be interesting to see where it is, to see the whole makeup. What year are you born, sir?
1973.
Sorry, okay. So 1973 is the ox, just so as you know. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. It went dead. I'm just looking at an ephemeris. Can I take a second? God, my eyes have become useless. Hold on. As you get older, your eyes really change. Mm. You're actually Aquarius with the moon in Aries and the ascendant in Libra. Now, what's interesting about that is Aries is a fire sign. I'm Leo, which is a fire sign. And you remind me of myself. When I met him years ago, I was the same weight and I looked like Russell Crowe when I first met him. You could probably see a little of it. Yeah. And he has the same chart as me, bar one planet, which is Aries. I'm Leo's son, he's Aries' son. Now, you are Aquarius, moon Aries. Mm. The moon in Aries means that you need reassurance, but also you're very good at designing and creating. But when you have Aries moon, you really need someone to say, you can do it, you're the best. When you're Aquarius, you're a judge, jury, and courtroom in your own head, but you're also a little wacky and out there, right? You can't help it because also you dip in and out of what's called the ethereal energy part. An Aquarius person can attach to universal energy within, how do I explain this? There's a big pot, like a spirit pot, and you can dip in and out of it. And you yourself can sometimes see a little bit of the future, trends, outcomes, who's guilty, who's not guilty. You might be embarrassed to say, but you can actually do it. Also, funny, you and I are in the exact same time frame this year, and I'm going to show you how that works. Okay. If you take 9 and 2, you get 11. Agreed? Mm-hmm. And if you take 11 and 6, you get number 8. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. You do, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you take 21 and 8, you get 29. Okay? Right. And if you add 6, you get 35. And 3 and 5 is 8. Right. Right? So we've been introduced in the exact same time frame in our lives, even though you're younger than me by a considerable chunk. I'm showing you how people come together numerologically at similar times. And I'll explain to you a little bit what that time frame means. Okay. If you don't mind me saying, is it okay to speak about you personally?
Yeah.
Okay. You're sorting out your life from top to bottom, from very top to very bottom. Home, money, health, clothes, home, love, everything. From top to bottom, that's what you're doing this year. You're sorting yourself out in all directions. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. Now I'll show you something else because this is whacking me out. I want to make sure I'm correct. Let me just do it again. So we take 1973 is 20 and 11 gives us 31. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Take 2-1 plus 8 and 1964 gives 49. 4 and 9 is 13 is 4. I'm a 4 and you're a 4. Both in the 8 year, identical. Yeah. Isn't that insane? When you re-listen to this, you'll see that it's accurate. Mm-hmm. Now, number 4s are emotional, sensitive, family-oriented. They get very hurt by family, parents, brothers, sisters, mother usually as well, because of the Aquarius part. A parent can be quite tough. Even though we love them, they can be quite tough in our path. And also, usually a number four gets stabbed a couple of times in love and by their best friend at least once. Make any sense?
Yeah, a lot.
Also, I know. Also, with you, you can have a short temper and you won't suffer fools. It's not that you're aggressive, but you really do see the truth. And sometimes it's a bit much. Like, you control it, because obviously we have to, but that, like myself, you see through it. You look through it like it's glass sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Now, this year is an awfully good one, unlike 5 years ago where you were quite disturbed, in my opinion, emotionally drained out. Yeah. And I also want to go back about 8-9 years ago, because that's when you rebooted your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there's a small health issue, but it's not death or anything. Little thing. I think you're going to get very, very fit, or you've just decided to get, I mean, you look fit, but it looks to me like you've decided to get super fit for some reason. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I've lost 80 or 90.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. That's what's on your mind. You already started it, right? But you're now thinking, I'm going to go the next step as well. You've already done that, and now you're going to killer shape. You're going what I call all Rambo. You'll even be able to wear Speedos instead of shorts. But the point is, you know what I mean? It seems like you've been rebooting and restructuring, but now you've got a lot of luck. You've also got promotion in your life. So you're doing a radio show. I don't know much about you, but I feel you might do more. I think there could be an increase because there's also, I mean, I don't know if you're married or not, but there's a very big emotional fulfillment on the way this year too, because you're Aquarius, February, it might have already begun. You should have a wonderful romantic time. And you may find too that everything you go to do is just that little bit more straightforward at the moment. Maybe unlike this interview, but the point is that you will find that things are, this. I'm speaking to you at quite a good time in your life, for real. I also see you getting glasses, which you may or may not already be doing, because there's something to do with it.
Yeah,
there's a change in glasses prescription coming in. Do you know about that?
Oh, it's due. It's due.
Yeah, no, it's very near, because you're going to get headaches if you don't. Also, I want you to start taking ginkgo biloba and turmeric, because I pick up cold hands and cold feet, or tired hands or tired feet. Something slightly wrong with circulation. If you fix it now, it will never get worse.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever gone, you're sitting on the loo or something and your legs go to sleep, or your hands suddenly are tired, or you wake up with cold. I mean, I don't know where you are, but there's something to do with cold in the hands and feet to come. Let's block it now. Ginkgo biloba and turmeric.
Turmeric.
Yeah, they're very, very good, because turmeric thins and moves the blood around, healing, and ginkgo biloba helps the hearing, the brain, and blood circulation to peripheries. There's also go-to colas, another brilliant one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, when people come to see me, I also can adjust the body and I do some healing, and I'm able to see the future, the past, the present. And I do a lot of different things for my clients. And sometimes when they walk in, I crack their necks, crack their body before I even start the reading to get them in a good space. Because people are so stressed out. And of course, we do live in tricky times. This is not a nice time. Fuel prices are through the roof. People are earning less. They need more for everything. I went to buy butter this morning, and in England, 500 grams, which is about 20 ounces of butter, is now almost $10. It's never cost that kind of money. It's insane. Look back, it's a nice butter, but my God. It needs to be greasy, because you feel like you've been taken, if you understand what I mean. You know, I mean, it's gone mad. Everything. And you know what they've done in England? They've brought out all new laws to be able to shrink the size of chocolate bars and candies and everything, but charge us that little bit more. It's legal for them to do it on the grounds of our health.
Oh.
You get it? On the grounds of helping our health, they've cut down the size of fizzy drinks, chocolate bars, anything that was desirable, in a sense. They've got a tax on it now. Like, I ordered something earlier and it said, oh, part of it was your tax for it having sugar in it. Very clever, isn't it?
Wow.
Right. Do you want to ask anything else about anything in any direction?
Well, I was going to ask you, you talked about people coming to you and all the folks, but I know how it can be, and folks think, because, you know, being a radio and a podcast guy talking to celebrities and all these other people, don't realize how lonely it can actually get. Is that the way it is for you as well?
Well, I would say that there have been plenty of times where I've been lonely because in my whole life, first of all, I never fit in, not even at school. I was bullied a lot. This is nothing I don't think to be with a psychic. I think I just had a certain look and the other kids just didn't like the way I looked. When I got older and I became, you can't see me now, but there was a point where I was very good looking and they didn't like that either. So you can't really, well, you've probably had that because you've got those eyes and you've got the thicker set body like me. You know, what I mean is you're not a skinny little guy. You've got some build on you. And what are you, about 5'10", 200?
About 5'8", 6'1", 240.
Oh, you're much taller. Oh, you're big. Right, you're bigger than me. I'm just under 5'11", 200 or 195, but I've been as much as 250. Point is, when you grew to that, and that's a good build in America, but did you ever find, if you were early doing that, that the kids hated you for it? Because I think it may have happened to you early like me. Because I looked like a man at 13. When I wasn't in school at 13, people would say, sir, can I help you? But you go back into school and the teachers hate you because you're big and frightening. And then the other kids who haven't maybe had puberty in the same way have a go at you. You know what I mean? But yeah, it has been lonely at times because initially my family didn't like that I knew things. I mean, and then when I would predict things, my mother would get offended with her political views or whatever, because it wasn't that I was predicting a political view. It was predicting something I saw. So, for example, I said to my mother, this is a very long time ago, I said, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be governor of California. And she says, that Nazi swine? I said, first of all, he's not a Nazi. He's anything but that. He's an amazing human being who's worked incredibly hard and proved himself time and time again on every possible level. And he will be governor. And if there wasn't a law, he would be president. What was funny about it was that, of course, Obama had a worse history than him. And he did get to be president, which does my head in. But anyway, presidents aren't really real anyway. From my experience of reading for them and being around that scenario, I would say presidents are puppets. I hope I don't get shot for that. But I don't think they're in control of anything. Some of them even fall asleep on the job, if you know who I mean. Certain persons around November 20, you know, born around November 20. And it's also interesting when you do get someone like a Trump who's actually doing everything he can to put money in people's pockets and trying in every way to communicate with other world leaders and doing his absolute best. And even though he's got a very big mouth, he's trying to make the common man have a better life. They get hold of him and sling him out without even votes. I mean, I saw through it, madness. And any excuse they can make, and you know, we've got the same thing here. We've got a raving lunatic in power. But what can you do about that? You know, people have higher fuel bills, less money in their pocket. They're suffering everywhere. And of course, under those circumstances, then you get mass shootings, death, looting, riots, people living in tents on streets who've lost their homes, banks repossessing homes. It's not just as simple as, you know, how getting up and talking. What I can't stand is all these world leaders come together and then they change the ones that make better for the individual and they put in someone who's a moron and then everybody suffers and they say, oh, great president. I don't get it. And it's the same here. I'm not picking on America. Right. You know, but what I'm trying to say is people suffer today. People suffer and the rich just get richer and richer and richer. So someone's pulling the strings and it ain't the president. I do remember years ago, and I'll say a little, I was very, very friendly and even lived with a guy called Robert Evans, who ran Paramount Studios. When I say live with, I'm not gay, I'm straight, and I lived in his guest house. But he used to have Henry Kissinger and Sumner Redstone, who was my client for 40 years, and a lot of others, very, very famous people, every day in the house. And it used to be interesting to watch the likes of Bill Clinton phone Sumner Redstone and then both ask me what I thought. But what was funny was Henry Kissinger was still playing a role in politics 20 years ago when he hadn't been in a political party all those years. So I witnessed things and I realized that nothing's real. And I don't mean to be negative, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And another thing that happened to me, which was really silly of me. So when I was living with Evans, around 2001, there were a lot of very pretty girls around. And one particular girl I really rather fancied, and I was a single man, and I'm sure you've been a single man, and some of you all are. And I used to think not with what was between my ears, but what was between my legs. Nowadays, I think much more with what's between my ears, I promise. Anyway, in those days, this very, very pretty girl, she made her eyes at me, and I made his eyes at her, and we went back to my place, as it were, and fooled around. But in the middle of fooling around, after this ecstatic fun, she started telling me how she'd been in Saudi, and I wasn't really listening. I was looking at her lady parts, you know, breasts, this thing, a beautiful face. Sorry, I was an idiot, okay? I'm in my 30s. But, you know, she's naked on the bed. You try concentrating when you haven't had it for a bit and suddenly having the time of your life. Anyway, she starts telling me about how she'd been with this group of people, one of who turned out to be Bin Laden, and how they planned to blow up the Twin Towers and put planes in all the buildings. And she knew everything. And she's telling me. And it's going in one ear and out the other. And this was about July. And then the following month, everything she'd heard and all the plans was real. Now, I was an English citizen living in America on a visa. And I knew all these powerful people. But the worst thing is, I think they knew. Sorry. Because she knew. And she was telling me, she must have told Evans because he was his friend as well. And others were there. Are you getting the point? All I know is she told me all of this. This isn't psychic. She told me they're going to fly planes. And I thought she was raving mad at the time because I wasn't focused on that. And that was a very big life lesson. I know it's a different subject, but I want to share it because that was the madness of my life. Things like that. And I've always known things that are happening before they do, being around the media. Because a lot of that's controlled as well. But that was a particularly fascinating non-psychic story. I'll never forget it the rest of my life, because had I have not been talking to her under those circumstances, I don't know what I could have done, but I might have mentioned it. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. It was a very, it's 21 years ago, full 21 years ago this month, June, July. So what was I, 36, 37, and interested in what I was doing. But now, when my friend phoned me and woke me up in LA saying they're blowing up the world on 9/11, I was in shock because it was everything she told me. She wasn't psychic. She'd heard the plans, and they didn't know she spoke fluent Arabic. But she did. And she wasn't an Arab. She was an American girl with her Arab relatives. And she'd been staying with one of the sons or something as a friend. So that was just mind-boggling. But, you know, I've had a very odd life because I had another problem, which is I make a lot of very accurate predictions, and the British media doesn't like the truth very much. They never, I don't think the American does either. They don't like to get the truth to get in the way of a good story. So, for example, many, many years ago, I went to the newspaper and I said, oh, by the way, they're going to put Daniel Craig as the new Bond. He's going to have a very layered cake next year because he just had the movie Layer Cake come out. And they said, oh, we're not going to print that. And then I said, well, also, you know, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are going to get together. Oh, don't be silly. He's with what's her name? Anyway, all these things came true. So I phoned up the newspaper who I'd sent it to, and they had it in their safe. Yes, but we don't want to print that because, you know, that's a real prediction. We want to take the mickey out of psychics. So that's the problem. It's a bit like the days of Nostradamus. You know, Michel de Nostradamus, right? He had to write everything in sort of what they call quatrains, but we'll call them poems, because he literally would have been killed. And yet most of his writings are coming true to this day. You know, even this recent business with Putin was written by him. There is one good Michel de Nostradamus story that I love. He got buried with a huge gold chunky necklace. And he wrote on it the date of his death, this before he died, and two names, okay? So a couple of thieves came to his grave to steal the necklace, and it said, this guy and this guy, I can't remember the names, will rob me on this day after I'm dead on the necklace, and they will drop dead on the spot, and they did.
Wow.
That's written in his stuff. That's known. You know, but that's not me. But I mean, I've met a handful of really good psychics in my life too. And, you know, when I first met them and they told me visions and things, of course, I thought they were talking out their rear end, but they weren't. But finding good psychics now is very hard because, especially in Hollywood, there's a lot of fakes who really hurt people and lie to people and take money from them and don't predict the truth. And I like to work with the truth. I don't tell people fantasies. I can't do that. You know, so it's like if somebody says, will I win the lottery? Well, if they're going to win the lottery, I'll tell them. But if they're not, get to reality. I also think that all of us have a path and a journey and a learning curve. And I think some people are actually born with a green American Express, and there are others who are born with a black titanium one for real, because their souls earned it through another life. So some people are destined. Now, you and I have the life force that has to work for whatever we want, but that doesn't mean we can't have it. The number four has to build structure and order. But for example, Clint Eastwood is a number four. And look what he's done with it. So he's done quite well. But of course, he's not just an actor. He's an actor, a director, and a producer, and a businessman. Because number four, you're a radio presenter, but you're not. You have quite a few other strings within you that you play. You know what I mean? To the bow?
Right.
Same as me. You know, I wanted to do a lot of other things, but usually we find one thing that propels us forward.
Right.
But some people are luckier. They have a life force that guarantees that whatever they touch will have the Midas touch, but maybe not their love life. So if we take someone, I'm not picking on him. I like Tom Cruise, but Tom Cruise is a number one for life. And so everything he's wanted is the door is open, except he can't have a relationship. Possibly the Cancerian ego and the fact that he won't bend. Because Cancer's the one sign that just won't bend. They'll break. They don't bend. You know, they're opinionated and they'll die for it. And when they realize they're wrong afterwards, that crushes them down. So the thing about being a Cancer, I'm not knocking Cancer. I've got plenty of Cancerian friends, but they have their own opinion, which they'll die for, and then they won't bend. So one day it snaps, their fantasy snaps, and then they spend a long time picking up the pieces. It's just an example, you know? And then you've got other signs, like if we pick on Amber Heard, which everybody's doing, and I think she's quite a good actress, but I also think that I think she's a bit nasty. I think she's got the wrong side of Aries on her Aries-Taurus cusp. Same birthday as Jack Nicholson family, and I always liked Jack. And also the guy who died, but he made Charlie's Angels and all the other... Aaron Spelling was the 22nd of April also. But she basically wants to win at any cost. And that's a shame. And, you know, she's also got that vindictive streak. And, you know, I've met Johnny a couple of times and I spoke to him before the trial by fluke. It was absolutely by fluke. I didn't plan it. And he's June 9th. So believe it or not, he's a little similar to you. But he actually didn't do anything. That's the problem. So what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to just take it and let his career go? And, you know, I can't wait to watch his new movies when he makes them. You know, it's pure. He's brilliant. She said on a news report this morning that he's the actor who could persuade people that he's got scissors for hands. What's that got to do with her pretending that he walloped her about when he didn't?
Right.
You know, that's another thing. Society doesn't understand men being abused. But of course, in my work, I've found that men do get abused. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some scum men as well. There are men that need to be flogged, whipped, beaten, and castrated. So please don't get me wrong. But there are plenty who are very sweet and kind, and they have violent, aggressive, nasty women who want money or want to hurt. So, you know, I've got to see so many things. I mean, I won't name names, but not long ago, I went to read for a very beautiful woman in a Middle Eastern country who was about 50. And she really was sort of like a cross between Julia Roberts and Catherine Zeta-Jones in a milkshake. Very, very good looking woman. And not Arabic. She was in this Middle Eastern country, but she was from the US. And she'd married this insanely rich man who, when she married him, she was about 20. So he would have been about 65. Mm-hmm. And now he was 95. And the only question she had is, when will he die? Tell me he's going to die. And I said, well, I'm looking here. I mean, the man trains every day like Dick Van Dyke. You know, he's in great shape. He still wants to make love with you, even though he's 95. He goes on his yacht. He plays golf. He's got his jets. He's got his airplanes. He's got his, helicopters. You live in this huge mansion. I said, I don't think he goes for about another 15 years. And she wanted to kill me, but it was the truth. You know, all she wants, when's he going to die? When's he going to die? Because she wanted to go and be with a young boyfriend. But of course, she picked the wrong guy. You know, I mean, but, you know, I'm not only picking on women. Men also are mercenary. You know, what I'm trying to say is I see the sexes as entirely equal. The sooner society does that, the better off we'll all be. When the courts say, oh, you're a man, but you're a good father. You're a woman, but you're a lousy mother. Or the other way around, instead of just the one way, you know. Just because it's a male doesn't mean it's a bad father. Just because it's a female and it should be nature doesn't mean she's a good mother. But unfortunately, society's values are very broken at the moment. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that's the way I see it. And in my work, I have to deal with all of this because people come for all sorts of different reasons, relationship, financial issues, being abused by the law, whatever it is that they're going through, or health, you know. And also there's another thing, Big Pharma doesn't want you to take herbs and minerals and vitamins. Big Pharma doesn't want you to fix your body. Big Pharma doesn't want to cure serious illness because there's no money in you being well. And so I meet people, and I've studied a lot the herbal and the alternative side. And as I say, if you look at me, I'm pushing 60, and I think I look a little younger, right? And it's all to do with the herbs, the vitamins, and regular exercise. But Big Pharma will not talk about that. In fact, globally, they restrict vitamins, minerals, and cures. The FDA's out, for example, in America. And the same here. They block everything because that will not make them money. Now, I know I sound paranoid, but it's the truth. Another one. All the food companies discount everything that's bad for you and charge a fortune for everything that's healthy. Like, I'll give you a silly example. I was the generation where we were told to eat milk and meat as much as we possibly could, which, of course, makes heart disease. Now you discover things like oat milk and think, my God, this stuff's delicious. Where was that when I was a kid? Do you know what I mean? And we were told to eat bacon, beef, anything, you know, and now we're being told the truth, which is we should eat some of that, but we should also eat a hell of a lot of vegetables and fruit and try to juggle things up. Not, I mean, for example, I'm as bad as anyone. I had one of those power cheeseburgers earlier. Actually, it was fake meat, but it was still superb. I mean, it's got a new name, like unbelievable meat or whatever. It was very good. But the point is, we've been given diets and forced and pushed into directions that cause ill health to make money for companies. I'm sorry, but it's true. And so all of these things I try and help with. And then, you know, you discover other things like chiropractic medicine, herbal alternatives, massage, all these different things that can really help you live a very long and healthy life. But none of them are pushed. They're all fuddy-duddy. But they're not fuddy-duddy, are they? It's a joke, isn't it? So that's why I don't fit in, you know?
That's right. Well, Maurice, I know that I had talked to Marina about possibly having you back on a regular basis. We can...
I would love if I come back on a regular basis to have call-ins, because yeah. I will read anyone at any time of any race, religion, height, build, color, or sex. Even a dog, you know, right next to me is my little pug, aren't you, Bonnie? And, you know, I read animals too. In fact, there's nothing I can't read because they have a soul as well. That's part of why I eat less meat. Not because I don't like meat, please. It's delicious. But I know that everything has its purpose. You know, the Kabbalists believe that you can eat anything as long as you say a prayer and thank that being that you ate it. And also humanely kill it. Right. But if I'm going to do a regular thing, I'd love to do that. I'm open to that, but I would love some call-ins.
Yeah,
I don't care who calls. It makes no difference to me. I used to do a live TV show and I'd have people call in. And of course they would want to accuse me of making it up, but they were complete strangers. Because I also have a gift sometimes where I could do something called remote viewing. Okay. Now, I'm not a professional remote viewer, but sometimes, and especially when I was younger chatting up women, I would tell them where they are, what they're wearing and what they're doing, and what their bedroom or wherever they were looked like. Mm-hmm. Or I'd say to something like, you're in your car and you're playing with your handbag. It's brown and you got red lipstick, or something stupid like that, and because I could see it.
Right.
And they just couldn't believe it. And then I might say to a girl where she's got a blemish on her body or a birthmark or something, and I don't know how I knew, but I knew. Not just girls, but I'm trying to, you know, it was crazy. I mean, my friend used to phone me from his office. I'm not as good at it right now. His name is Dr. Tom Marinara. I think he's the best living chiropractor in the world. He's in 8300 West 3rd Street, LA. And he really is gifted. I mean, he's got a, I say you could straighten out a U-bend. But he used to phone me from his office and say, who's on my table? And I'd know. And it's not always as good as that. I didn't know why I knew. Weird. So I don't profess to understand any of what I do. I never said I understood it, and I don't know why I'm right or why I'm good. I do know that I don't want to hurt anyone, and I'm very careful what I tell people. I take it very, very seriously, and I put my life on my work. You know, I'll say that. But yeah, I'm happy to work with you, of course. You know, I mean, I'm open. But I like to do it in a relaxed way, and I could read anyone anytime. I mean, it's got me out of some very funny situations, being pulled over for speeding, or I can't go into all of that. Honestly, I've talked my way out of quite a few things. In fact, I wrote a script about this guy who's about to be killed by the mob, and he's by the grave there. They've dug for him in the forest, and he turns around to the guy with the gun. And he says, I want to talk to you about your grandmother. He says, I'm going to kill you. He says, yeah, but I need to tell you this anyway. He reels off the grandmother's name and all about his childhood. Then he tells him about his brother and his illness and this, that, and the other. Of course, the guy's not going to shoot him anymore. He can't believe it. He thinks he's with an angel. Of course, he's not with an angel. But it went on like that, and it would be quite funny. But yeah. I can do most of that.
That's cool.
I did it for a guy today, the MMA guy, the postal delivery guy.
Well, Maurice, if folks would like to find more information about your work, where is the best place for folks to find
me? The very best place to find me is on mauriceamdur.co.uk or the Maurice's Psychic World channel on Facebook. You know, and I love helping people. I am expensive, but my shortest readings are not. And I just want to share something. Readings are not about the length. It's about the information. It's like if you ask a woman about lovemaking, it's about how she enjoyed it. So the point being, I do a 15-minute reading, which isn't that expensive. But if you have a 15-minute reading and you're told the truth and everything you need to know, isn't that better than an hour of BS? You know. By the way, are you sorting out your clothes in your wardrobe or something? Have you been adjusting your clothes?
Yeah, I'm actually having to get new pants. All of my pants are too big.
Yeah, but you're going to readjust the actual inside the wardrobe, how everything's hung and where things are. It's shoes, pants, jacket, everything. But you're going to get even fitter. You may be fit now, but you might go all the way to like athlete because it's in you now. It's like something switched. Mm. You get it? It's like, you know, I was as much as 250. Right now I'm 200. I want to go down to 185. But I'm like you. I go up and down depending on my emotions and circumstances. But I feel something, what? It's snapped and you can't snap back. You're a new version of you. And I see you, it also the furniture, the home, decorating or moving. There's a whole big thing, a big shift and huge romance. I told you that before. Huge is on you. That's flowers and dinners and fun. But it could lead to serious commitment or developing within an existing, I don't know, but something fabulous. Mark my words, that's with you.
She might
be a Sagittarian. Because, you know, Joe Pesci, when I met him, I've met him a number of times, but I never knew. But you know Marissa Tomei and Joe Pesci when they were doing that My Cousin Vinny? They're boyfriend, girlfriend in real life. She never married him, but they're very close. Mm-hmm. And she's Sagittarius. Beautiful woman, by the way, and so friendly and down to earth. You know, when I lived in Hollywood, some people were pigs. But a lot of people were really nice. The ones that were real stars that had gone all the way to the top, just so decent, so nice. It's only the little ones who are insecure. But I remember she was a massive star. She'd won an Oscar and everything. And she was just normal, lovely. Do you know what I mean? Whereas every now and again, you meet one that's an idiot. But I see romance around you. and you've got to clean or do something with a car as well. Have you got a dirty car or a car you've got to put right or something?
I've got some work needs to be done on my vehicle, yes.
Thank you, because that's what I was seeing. Right. It's weird. I don't know where any of this comes from. I'm not trying. Also, your kitchen. Some one of the appliances or something in your kitchen has to be repaired too. You may not know about it yet, but it does. I don't know what it is, but your kitchen is being shown me that there's. I don't know. You might sort that place out and stay or move. You're tinkering on that idea. Shall I sort it out or shall I move on as well? That's what's next. Make any sense?
It does.
Okay, it does. Good.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, I'm here, and as I say, you can ask me anything you want, and I'd love to come back and whatever you need.
I truly do want to say thanks for joining me for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Do want to say thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music, and well, we're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your evening.